All right, welcome to the Noted Podcast, episode number 9. We're about to hit double digits, son. Can you believe it? We've come so far.
Crazy.
I can't believe it. McMurray, can you believe it?
No, man.
He's on his cell phone. He doesn't care.
You know, he's texting all them hoes, son.
that is not accurate at all.
So today we're going to talk about the amazing, the wonderful 10 Cloverfield Lane. Oh, wouldn't that have been cool if it was our 10th podcast? That would have fit just right. Anyway, number 9.
Too bad.
We'll take it. I'm your host, or we are your hosts. I'm Luke.
I'm McMurray.
I'm BJ.
And we have some notes about Cloverfield Lane. Are you recording? Because this needs to be on.
Yes.
Okay, so I think
we want to have like a formal introduction here. We need to.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do that later. But I just think that he's right and he's crazy. Because I think what made him crazy is the loss of his daughter, whatever the frick happened to her, Megan.
Here's something that I don't know if I want to get into this yet.
Yeah, get into it.
Well, I don't know if it's the appropriate time, because we'll get into it for sure.
Well, at least throw it out there so we'll help you remember it later.
Okay, so let's start off with this. Let's start off talking about, did we enjoy the movie?
Oh, okay.
And I'm, of course, definitely going to say I enjoyed it a lot. It was very suspenseful. It had twists in it that you did not see coming.
No.
It was kind of like a Tarantino movie in that aspect. Where you just didn't know what the hell was about to happen next. I absolutely loved it. What do you think, McMurray?
I enjoyed it. I think I would have loved it more if it wasn't a Cloverfield film. Like, if it had been The Cellar or whatever they were doing first, and there hadn't been, spoilers, aliens and all that stuff, like, it had just been her trapped in there trying to get out, I would have enjoyed it a lot more. It just, that, it felt so, I don't know, it felt almost tacked on to me. It's just like,
the ending felt tacked on?
Yeah. It's like, all of it up to that, him being like, oh, stuff's out there and all that stuff, fine. But then it's just kind of like, well, let's make this a blood cousin or whatever, and but let's not have the monster, let's just throw aliens in there, or something like that. It just felt kind of like, That's like, when I saw it, when I first saw the aliens, when the first monster came out, I was thinking, okay, this could be like a little offshoot of the Slush and Monster, whatever you guys are calling it.
Mm, yeah.
But then when like the alien ship came in, I honestly just sit there and I was kind of like, huh, okay. I don't know.
This is getting perfectly to what I was wanting to discuss.
Okay.
But you go ahead first.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, just, but yeah.
To be fair, for you guys listening, these two are way more into the Cloverfield universe, and they've went down that rabbit hole. I am not in that at all.
Right, yeah.
I saw the first movie. It was, you know, I was like, all right. But I did not get into the whole thing.
So, my something that I really like and hate at the same time is that Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, isn't really related at all to Cloverfield. I like that it's not, but something that I don't like is if he continues to make movies in this universe that have nothing to do with the other movies, we'll never know what's up with Brittany or what happened, all the questions that we have that are unanswered with 10 Cloverfield Lane, like what happens to Michelle and then it goes to Houston and that kind of stuff.
Well, or even the events of the first movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many unanswered questions from that film that we'll never know what happened.
And I think you know, you're saying that it had nothing to do with... It didn't have anything to do with the first one. It shared a similar name, mm-hmm. Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. But do we... We talked about this kind of yesterday. Do we know why it was called Cloverfield for sure, the first one?
Like I had said, we need to Google that, but I thought that the reason why the very first movie was called Cloverfield at all was because the monster footprints made a clover. Okay, that doesn't answer it.
Yeah, it does.
Wait, oh, the film's final title, Cloverfield, is the name of... The film's final title, Cloverfield, is the name of the exit Abrams takes to his Santa Monica office. In turn, the road used to lead to... Well, okay, that's why he named it that in real life. Why is the movie Cloverfield... Click on Yahoo. Best answer. People from the monster had three toes. Therefore, after it left its footprints across the city, the footprints look like clovers. Yeah, so I was right.
It kind of feels forced to me.
Well, I mean, but that's what was said.
Right.
And look, 8 years ago when the movie came out is when that post was written.
I agree. I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I know that that's what they said, but that seems forced to me if he actually come up with it because it was a street title.
Sure.
And he was like, it's called Cloverfield because of his feet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Took a bad
thing. I could have sworn someone said something about Goodman being involved with the discovery of Goodman's character in this, the universe where the Cloverfield monster exists, discovered it or something, was involved with the discovery, and since he lived on 10 Cloverfield Lane, that could have been a possible way he was.
See, you said that, and I had never read that.
I didn't say it. Someone said it.
Yeah. You said that to me, and I don't know. Possibly.
I don't know either.
I'll be honest with you. I really, really struggle with that. Like, I really want them to connect. Like, I want them to connect so badly.
I'm glad they don't.
Well,
to a point.
Yeah.
I'm glad they don't.
Well, here's how I feel about it. I think listening to the Nerdist podcast where JJ talks about it and how when he broke it down and explained it that this is his Twilight Zone, because I love Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. And JJ Abrams, he loves the Twilight Zone.
Right.
That has kind of helped me come to terms with it more if I think of it. Because going into the movie, I'm like, these are related. These are related. So yeah, I was like disappointed. When I'm like, oh, they're not related. And I think going forward with future Cloverfield movies, knowing that now in advance, I will be excited for them. But like you say, it just kind of sucks a little bit thinking like, well, not every question will be answered.
And to me, who's to say that he doesn't come out with a 10 Cloverfield Lane 2?
Or a Cloverfield 2.
And, yeah. Well, yeah. But, you know, I don't think he'll do that. I think every movie that he makes in this universe is just going to be...
like some weird...
It's a fresh start. It's a clean slate for him to destroy the world.
I think of it like this.
How he wants to.
Did either of you play Bioshock Infinite?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you played it. So you know how in Bioshock Infinite, spoilers, the huge reveal at the end is like... It's all these... parallel universes.
Yes.
And they establish, they go in every single universe, there are these three similarities. There's always a man, there's always a city, there's always a tower, you know. And so I kind of think of it like that. It's like these movies will always be radically different, but there will always be that, am I pronouncing it right? Turagatu?
Yeah.
The company that John Goodman's character works for, that was the company in Cloverfield 1. There will always be Slusho. There will always be...
Well, for me, there will always be John Goodman. There'll always be... Everything about the world that is in there is the exact same in every movie.
Was he in the first one? Because I don't remember that.
No. His character wasn't. But who's to say he didn't exist? He was just in Louisiana somewhere chilling, working on some satellite. Oh. What I'm saying is that character existed in that world. We didn't see it, hear it, or whatever. Everything in the world is the exact same in every single movie. So you always have this slush show and everything. It's just that something different happens in every one of those.
In every one of them, right.
I think that'll be awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I like that. I mean, now that I kind of know that it's Twilight Zone-y, you know, it's like, okay. Like, I'm okay with that. And I mean, I guess that's why, like, you know, when you asked me the question, did I like the movie? It's like, yeah, because it just makes me think of Twilight Zone. I just love Twilight Zone.
And two, I think in every one of these movies he does, there'll always be questions that are unanswered. So we will have this conversation at the end of it. So people will want to know. So people...
And see, I think that's going back to what McMurray said. Like, McMurray, you say the ending feels tacked on. Mm-hmm. But you're coming from it this angle of, like, somebody that's like, well, I don't know any of this stuff, and so I'm just, you know... So, I mean, your point is completely valid. I'm not going to try to, you know, be like, you're an idiot
or
something.
I can definitely see where someone
thinks it's just... But I think knowing what you know now, and then for future Cloverfield movies, I think the sci-fi element is always going to be part of Cloverfield.
Yes.
It will always, like, because where me and DJ, we're watching it going, like, okay, Mad Dog said this going into it. He said, what if there's nothing? Like, he said that to me. He goes, what if there's nothing? He goes, what if, because I had proposed this, because, you know, not the poster we've been looking at, there's another poster, and the tagline says, monsters come in many forms.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Mad Dog had talked about that the monster is John Goodman. Like, right. He is a monster.
Yeah.
But, you know, what if that's it, though? Like, what if she gets out at the very end and it's fine?
Well, I expected that.
Especially, okay, well, but here's my point.
When the birds flew over.
Okay, but this is my point, though. I would have been pissed.
I would have, too.
Because I would have been like, where's the sci-fi thing? Whereas I think McMurray would have loved it. But to me, it would have been like, well, that's not Cloverfield.
Exactly.
That's not a Cloverfield movie, you know. The moment I saw the spaceship, I was like, yes!
Here's my train of thought during the whole movie. Okay, so I know that something's probably going to happen outside. And she's in the bunker, she wakes up, yada, yada, yada. Day two, she wakes up, she hears vehicles overhead. And the music starts immediately.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking John Goodman heard those vehicles too. And he started playing the music to cover up the sounds of the vehicle.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, so he is just trying to keep them in there.
That's
what was going through my mind. And...
But they're... The only reason...
The first thing that I was kind of like, well... Is when he took her up there to meet the pigs.
Oh, well, I was thinking of the woman.
Well, that's... I'm getting that.
Because he could kill the pigs.
That's exactly... That's what was in my head. I was like, the pig... They look like they were melting. And I was like, well, he hasn't been out there. I'm like...
Sure.
This is weird.
Yeah.
So, is he crazy? Or is he telling the truth? And then the scene where she breaks out, she goes upstairs. There's a car up here. And then, boom, that woman, I'm like...
Which is literally...
She's melting.
Which is literally the most terrifying moment of the movie, I thought. Did you guys think that was the most terrifying? I thought that was terrifying. I mean, that woman just starts banging her head on the glass. I was like, holy crap.
It was creepy, but that didn't make me jump.
What, which...
The car wreck made me jump.
The car wreck was great.
Because it was just like, bow! And I was like,
apparently, we screwed up, by the way.
Wow.
From what I've been reading. This was one of those movies they say you must see in IMAX.
Oh, really?
Because the sound...
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Was they said... I read a lot of people was talking about the sound of the movie in IMAX was ridiculous. The gunshot scene, they were like, that is the most realistic gunshot, and you're already in shock because...
Yeah.
Of what just happened.
Because it's so sudden.
And that sound actually, it makes you feel like it's in your head. really wish we would have got to see it in IMAX for that reason.
I mean, yeah, the three moments, I jumped at all three moments that the filmmakers probably wanted me to jump.
Yeah.
I jumped at the car wreck, I jumped at the woman, and I jumped at, because, you know, it's very weird, because she's like, look, and she goes, there's a car out here. Mm. And then it's like, boom, there's that woman. I jumped in, and I jumped to the gunshot, only because you knew he was going to die. Like, you saw it coming, but I didn't expect him to die that way. Well, I thought he was going to, like, throw him in the acid or something. When he pulled that gun, I was like, holy crap. Because it went so fast.
Well, see, here was my way of thinking. When he apologized and Goodman said that he accepted his apology, I was like, shit, this isn't the way that I expected this.
Oh, it didn't fool me at all.
It did me. Because
no, it didn't fool me.
The reason it fooled me is because how fucked up his character is. It's like, okay.
He's all over the place, yeah.
Is he actually forgiving him right now? Because that's something that I wouldn't expect, but it's exactly why it could happen. It's something I wouldn't expect, because I fully figured he was going to die there.
Yeah.
Especially when he started taking all the blame, I was like, he's dead.
Yeah. I see what you're talking about, though, because he was all over the place, because at the beginning, he was like punishing her for all that stuff and yelling at her, screaming at her. But the only time he didn't was when she bashed him in the face and ran up there and she saw the other person. It's like he did nothing to her. So he was kind of like between punishing her and not. Which, well, granted, her seeing all that stuff, you could have been like, that's punishment enough. You see.
Well, no. And two, I think he finally realized, or I think he realized that she finally realized he was being truthful.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like, okay, she's.
But
she knows what's
going on. But okay, but now you guys are getting into something that this is where I have issue. The obvious thing there is, well, he has a soft spot for her.
Right.
Because he sees her as Megan.
He's
replacing Megan.
There is no doubt with that in this movie.
But then what happened to Megan? That's what's driving me crazy. And what happened to Brittany?
What happened to Megan? I don't think anything did. I think she died probably in this. The niece, which is Howard's wife, and Megan left to go to Chicago. They got divorced, went to Chicago, and that's the last time, you know, Goodman was supposedly talked to her, and he just kept working on his bunker. That's all he was doing.
Okay.
On his bunker.
I'm going to stop you there, so the listeners know, everything he's saying now is not in the film.
Yeah, there's all this is not in the film. This is in the
internet.
The Clover, but it's not like
the rabbit hole.
It's
we
not
call
speculation
it.
Internet. This is all.
Oh, actual. It's confirmed from
this
the
is,
film.
This
yeah,
is all JJ, all his, yeah, all his stuff.
Can I ask you guys something?
Okay.
Do you think he would have killed Emmett regardless? Do you think he wanted it to just be her? Like, do you think he would have eventually found a way to get him out of there so he could have his family environment with his quote-unquote daughter?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I think if neither one of them tried, if they didn't find Brittany dead or, you know, trying to get help or whatever, and they just went on like normal.
It is a little confusing.
I think they would have been completely fine.
He obviously needed Emmett because Emmett helped him build the bunker. Because he says that in the movie.
Yeah.
But then when like Emmett's explaining like, you know, I ran here, he was closing the door. It's like, why did John Goodman let him in? Because he just seems like the kind of person that would be like, nope, sorry, and slam it and just let that dude die. It's like, I don't know why he let him down there. I don't know why.
Well, he didn't let him down there. He had to fight his way in. That's why his arm was tore up. He tells her, he said, I had to fight my way in here. I forced him to let me in here. John Goodman wasn't just like, oh, come on in, buddy.
Yeah.
No, he had to fight his way inside the door.
So he never wanted him there to begin with. Nice. Yeah.
Well, okay. He didn't want anybody there to begin with.
Yeah. Well, he wrecked her off the road.
Honestly,
he wanted her. He had a thing. He had a thing with a replacing Megan.
Well, here's what I'm curious about, and something we don't know because she doesn't show that flashback, is was that the truck that was at the gas station that pulled in behind her? They made that scene. They made that scene very obvious. That, but you never see what kind of vehicle it is because all you see is headlights.
Interesting. That would have to be like a rewatch moment. I don't know.
Well, you can't. I was trying to find details in every part of this movie because I knew how this movie. Was
Oh yeah.
And all you see in that scene is headlights.
You never see the vehicle, but you have to assume.
Now, if I go back and watch it, I know now that his truck is like a 93 model Ford Dually yellow. I know those headlights, so if I go back and watch it, you know, you can tell.
Yeah.
But it seemed like that vehicle had a large light bar on the top of it, and I don't think his Ford did.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But if that was John Goodman, that was his truck that pulled up behind her, and seen her pumping gas.
Yeah.
Then I would say, yes, he did wreck her intentionally, kidnap her because he thought it was
Megan. Oh, I think he 100% did. And the only reason why...
Here's why I'm saying... If that wasn't his truck at the gas station, then he wouldn't have known that was her in that car that even looked like Megan.
Well, but he says, I was trying to pass you. He got up next to her. He saw it was a girl by herself and then just wrecked her.
He didn't just get up beside her and see it was a girl by herself. You can tell he was flying by her and hit her and knocked her off the road. There's been no way that he could have been like, hey, that looks just like Megan, and then wreck her.
But if you think if it was a dude or someone else, he would have just left him when he saw him?
Yeah.
We've never seen a picture of Megan, though. We don't know what Megan looks like.
We've seen a picture of Megan.
We saw a picture of Brittany.
We've seen a picture of Megan young. It was a picture that fell before.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
And it did look like...
Was there a woman in that photo, or was it just him and a girl?
I think it was just him and the girl.
Because that was the whole thing I was reading online of people trying to figure out who is the mom and who's the wife. And someone proposed this theory, like, you know, the... So when you go to the Turagatu.com website, which is the company John Goodman works for, I know I'm saying crap you already know, but I'm saying this crap so people that don't know this.
He doesn't work for Turagatu, does he? He works for the Saku. He works for the satellite. Isn't Turagatu the mining?
Yeah, but I thought they were also the satellite. It's the same website.
SAG.
Go to the employee of the month. Go to employee of the month. It's Turagatu website. I guarantee it.
Gosh, I don't know how to spell this. Nor do I know how to say it.
There it is. It's on that website. And then
I think it's in
subs. It's in that one sub, yeah. And bold future is what he is.
That's what I was thinking of.
Well, that letter. Crap! That's not the employee of the month page though. If you go to Google and type in Turagatu Employee of the Month, it will pop up. It'll take you directly to that page.
That's the email that you can
chat with.
No, it has an automated response.
Oh.
But it puts at the bottom of it, it puts the picture of the Employee of the Month.
Okay.
So people were pretty excited to wait for next month to see if it's going to be up for next month, see if it changes.
Oh, it already changed. If you go to it now, it's a blurry image.
Next month, I'm talking.
Yeah. But before, when we went to it, it was a picture of John Goodman. Now it's a blurry image.
Well, I thought that John Goodman won it for like February.
Yeah.
And March was supposed to be the... NG, I think his initials are NG from the Fun and Pretty Things.
Yeah.
So do we want to explain the rabbit hole before we start talking about other stuff?
So, okay, let me break this down. So if you go to funandprettythings.com, it takes you to something that almost looks like a teenage girl made a blog or something.
Yeah.
It has every bit to do with this Cloverfield movie. Go back to that page though, because I want to show this to him. So today, McMurray, I was looking at this. I called him and I was like, "This is pissing me off because all of these pictures have to mean something. Nothing is coincidence." And then I started looking at these, and I was like, okay, these letters are missing. And then if you take these letters out, so I wrote it down. I was like, what do these mean? Anyway, that spells Megan, the letters that are missing. This is what I did today. I spent all day staring at these photos.
See, I would have never noticed that because I'd have been looking at the cat pictures.
Oh, he did too. Well, isn't it weird? There's two
cat pictures here.
There's two cat pictures. I kept looking at this freaking magazine over and over.
I looked at it over. So let me make this. You can win a concert. You can go on a tour bus with your favorite band. I was trying to figure everything out.
So let me tell you something else that's going to freak you out. So you see this picture of the Eiffel Tower? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not Paris. Because Paris is a city. Mm-hmm. That's mountains. That's woods in the background.
Hold on. Don't
worry. So go to... Yeah, go ahead and pull it up. I'm going to go pee. Like a pregnant woman.
Check this out. This is in Paris, Tennessee. Which is 5 hours and 7 minutes away from us. Not that I've been looking.
Road trip?
That's kind of what I was trying to get Luke to do that this morning.
Like, I mean, it's creepy. I mean, it looks just like it. It's got the Tennessee mountains in the background and the woods.
And
that would be closer to Louisiana.
What's even crazier is if you map the Louisiana trip from Louisiana to Chicago, it goes through Paris, Tennessee.
Yeah. And the only reason why we really think that this could be like a place that you need to actually go to is because of all the things, and you might want to go just briefly explain some of the rabbit hole things that they've done.
So, this all started when someone wanted to try to dig deep into this whole ARG, which is alternative reality game, I think is what it stands for. Someone decided to go to a website, Radio Man 70.com, because that is on the shirt that John Goodman's character is wearing on his Employee of the Month when you go to the Targatu page.
Right.
So then when you go to that website, which I just clicked on, it takes you to that funandprettythings.com. When you go to that funandprettythings.com, it's just a bunch of pictures that you can't click on, except for one. You can click on this one picture, and it asks for a passphrase.
It's a picture of the woman sitting at a computer.
Yes.
You click on it, a little window pops up.
This picture is from, which movie was it?
Pretty Woman.
And if you go to this movie where this scene takes place, there is a phrase that is being said. It says, do you want to talk? So if you enter that, which of course it's in my suggested since I've been here 50 times.
Yeah.
It takes you to a chat. And this chat is Radio Man 70, which is John Goodman's character, Howard.
Yeah.
Trying to contact his daughter, Megan.
Right.
And he leaves all these hints in these letters that have led people to go into the real world and find all this stuff.
Yeah, like he purposely misspells words and, and it's led, and people have pieced that together and it leads them to all this other crap.
So, in the second trailer for this movie, they are images that flash up on the screen. These images have numbers on them. These numbers are then used to find the location
of
the coordinate. Yeah. When they're put in a certain way, they were used to find the coordinates to a site in Louisiana, pretty sure it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there was a bottle of, what's the pop? Swamp Pop?
Oh, Swamp Pop.
Yeah, Swamp Pop. An empty bottle of Swamp Pop and a survival pack. In that survival pack, there was a bunch of USBs. Two of them was about a launch. One of them was about a large red blast.
Yeah.
Which was also talked about in
the movie. Yeah.
Two puzzle pieces that made up an eye.
Yeah.
Which is where the cat's eye.
In the movie, he's like, where'd these pieces go? Yeah.
So that... Of course, they found all this new information when they did that. That led people even farther down the rabbit hole there's so much, people.
I mean, well, and then, like, it goes, yeah, I mean, like, in one of the letters, John Goodman's character is venting about how his wife, who is keeping Megan from seeing him, and he even mentions, you know, like, how she even sold my grandfather's...
Selling
my grandfather's silverware for $500 or whatever. And in the Chicago area, so someone had the bright idea to go on Craigslist in the Chicago area, look for silverware. Silverware was on there selling for $500, and they were able to contact this woman. And it's crazy how it's all like this so woman, interactive.
This woman was Denise,
was
Howard's wife,
right? But we have spent the thing is about this whole thing, and this is what's so interesting about it, is when you go down this rabbit hole, it eventually leads to a page where John Goodman is asking, like, he's programmed it into this funny, what is it? Fun and Pretty Things page, where to prove if you're Megan. And this question has not been answered yet. This is like the only question that's not been answered is what did I give you for your what secret gift did I give you for your 13th birthday?
And here's where I'm going to break your heart.
What?
Because I think it has been answered.
I hope it has been. I want
to
know.
But if you go to the internet, no one really seems to talk about this. His wife's niece answers it right here. And no Soviets helped me get into your secret little hiding place here. Did you really think I wouldn't remember when you gave Megan your father's medal?
Oh my goodness, I'm so stupid. Why didn't I read that?
Then blew up at her because she accidentally misplaced it.
So what happens when you type that in?
Nothing.
Well, then that's not it.
That was it. Or Denise wouldn't have been able to respond on this forum. The only way you can chat on here is if you know what he got her for her 13th birthday. And she says it right there. That's how she got in here, because her father's metal. I just wonder if you have to be specific.
Like Purple Heart or
what kind
of... Oh, interesting. Because see, okay, let me tell you where I was going with it. Because John Goodman's character, the way he, throughout the movie, how he views, because he's projecting onto Michelle that she is Megan. She's replaced the role of Megan in his mind. The part where they're playing the game, and he's like, we'll not call her a woman. He calls her a girl, a princess, you know. And what the internets are saying is when he and his Denise divorced and left, and, you know, he like quit seeing Megan, was 13. And that was why it was a secret gift that he gave her on her 13th birthday. And so a lot of people are thinking, oh, it was a communication device because it was a secret, right?
Yeah.
It was something he was keeping from the mom. So I, like a smart person, was typing in there, cell phone, no, it doesn't work, radio man. His thing is radio. You know, I'm typing all this crap in. None of it's working. I even typed in earrings because, remember, that was like a thing in the movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all this stuff. Because when you go to the Fun and Pretty Things page, there's a lot of jewelry in those pictures. And I was like, oh, I bet that's a hint of that. I'm thinking all these things. So then I go to Reddit, and Reddit, like, apparently I'm not smart at all. People months ago tried all these things.
Yeah.
They already typed in cell phone radio. They already, like, all these things that I had. They typed in brand names of cell phones.
I started to say,
iPhone and, you know.
I started to say, people were like, I'm trying an iPhone and all this stuff. And then they were like, wait a minute. This would have been years ago.
So they tried phones
phones that were popular when, because they were like estimating how old she would be now.
Right,
and
how
long ago it was till she was 13. So what were popular phones back then and trying that. Yeah, nothing. No one's ever been able to.
And she says right there, scroll back up, she even uses the word secret. Help me into your little secret hiding place here. Do you really think I wouldn't remember when you gave Megan your father's medal?
And that leads me to one more thing.
What happens if you top it? Just top it in real quick. Purple Heart.
Oh, Purple Heart?
Let's see what it does. It'd be awesome if we cracked it.
Right on the podcast.
On the pod. Is this Megan? Yes, it is. Well, you already tried that, so you know it's not going to work.
Kevin Hart?
Yeah, it didn't do anything.
How did this guy get the post here? This NR is the guy who won Employee of the Month.
Well, I assume he's part of...
This is John Goodman's website, though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He posted here to get Goodman's attention.
Oh, I see what you're asking me. My friend, please forgive my intrusion on this personal site. I need somewhere away from prying eyes and ears. Throughout the years, we have danced along a fine line between enemies and friends, but I have always respected you as a colleague, taking you seriously, even though they have tried to silence us both. The dance always continues. Now, I never listened to the audio.
Do you want to?
Yeah, let's listen to it. What is it?
It's freaking weird.
Okay.
Thing puts you to sleep. It will not hear in a minute. It'll drive you. I'll stop it once it starts. But no one's figured out what this means yet either. That goes on for the rest of the time.
That's just it. It just beeps forever.
Did you hear breathing? Did you hear breathing?
I heard that too.
Anybody else get chills? Go back before that started. Because I heard it when you did that.
I heard it.
I thought that's what I heard.
There it was.
The frick.
That's creepy shit.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Let's fast on. This is fast forward towards the end.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm not good with computer stuff. So you know how you was explaining how people can take a picture and they can take it into an engine and it shows all the stuff? Can you do that with audio?
You can with Shazam. You know what Shazam is? App on your phone. When you hear audio, I already tried it. It comes up as saying it doesn't recognize this song.
No.
But you can, with Shazam, you can do that with movies, you can do it with a TV show, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever's playing, you can hit your app and it'll tell you what's playing. Either song, video, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what as soon as I was like, ooh, I'm going to do that with this, comes up with nothing.
Dang, this is just... Yeah. Dang.
It's already there.
So no one's cracked that code.
And, you know, here's the thing. I just wonder if we're all too late anyways.
You mean because it has to be cracked before the movie?
Howard's dead. Now, we don't know if NR is. He could have survived. A lot of people could have survived, but Howard's dead.
Wouldn't that be like a fascinating thing if it did come out? Or if that's the idea that JJ wants for people, is that with each Cloverfield movie, this ARG, this thing that we do with each one of our movies... You, as the public, as the fans of these, you have to crack this code. and the timeline is before the movie hits.
Yes.
And if you don't, then those answers...
They're gone. Yeah, you don't know.
You those questions never get answered.
Like, who knows?
That's so depressing.
We could have figured this... We could have went on farther and found out something about Brittany.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
It's just...
Because, I mean, you're right. Like, it would kind of defeat the purpose if he just said, well, here's all the answers. Because it's like, no, he's not going to reveal any of that. Because it's like all that hard work for nothing.
Exactly.
You were talking about, like, that audio file. If they could take that in and find something behind it. As soon as I heard it, I kept thinking of, like, a binary code or something.
Right. Or, yeah, right.
It's like, if they could decipher that and get a binary code out
of it. Trust me, people have been all over this thing.
Yeah.
If they're decoding pictures through some NASA satellite shit that they did, yeah. Stupid, smart people, stupid things.
That is so depressing, though, if they do...
If they're doing it the way I think they're doing it. Like,
they never know, because I'm like... What?
Well, you know, J.J. Abrams, he did, and you know, and let me ask you, okay, scroll down. Did it change... It changed.
This is because this is for March. John Goodman.
That's amazing.
John Goodman was. See, I wonder if we just go up here.
When I went to this page earlier today, and this is where his picture was originally, it was blurry. It was just blurred out. And now there's a new guy.
I wonder if one of those is NR.
This, thought.
You guys hear that every time that page comes up?
Yeah. This right here. Bold Futura, this is where he worked, NR, Nicola Rosa.
Google that name.
See the one that went in Chicago and stuff? So I wonder if that was like a plant.
What?
Wait, what? Yeah, what do you mean?
NR, I thought you said he was the one that had like been contacting them, like the fan person.
No.
Theory, Cloverfield. I love how people are just all over it. That's amazing, though. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you wouldn't be able to appreciate this if you didn't. These?
A lot of serious looking people here.
Maybe it's one of the, maybe it's like a Muhammad type name. It's like a very popular name or something.
Nikolai, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the actual dude there.
This is crazy. I mean, you can just spend hours just researching this crap.
And you know, here's what's really cool.
All these pictures are different. They're all different. When I was on it earlier today, that girl wasn't there, he wasn't there, she wasn't there. These are all different pictures. They're all different when I was on it earlier today. Like, they literally updated this in the last few hours. I'm telling you, yeah, they did.
Here, this is probably what you looked at. No?
Yeah, that is what I looked at.
Well, their pictures are here.
Oh, okay.
When's there a January?
Mm-hmm. January.
Oh, so you can just go to different months.
And it stops at January.
Oh, okay. See, I thought there was just one page.
No, that's what I was telling you. It was for the previous month.
But you're saying it will eventually change when it gets to...
Well, I don't know. The world's ended now, so I don't know if it will or not. That's why people are kind of like, will we have in April?
Right, yeah.
And what will be on it if we do? Who is she? Hey, girl.
See, we don't know anything about his wife other than her name, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I think that would be interesting if, like, what if it pulls up in April and there's a Denise who worked at the same company as him?
And we know Denise's last name. She does not go by Stambler.
Yeah.
Like, this is... All these people look professional.
Than him.
Than Goodman's character.
Yeah, I know.
Radio Man 70. That was just... That was perfect. Like, oh, they had the uncovered off the left tit so that Radio Man 70 could be seen.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People would want to go to that website.
Yeah.
What?
I know, yeah. It's so funny.
Well, I was wanting to...
Well, let me ask you this, McMurray. Mm-hmm. From a guy that didn't really know about this stuff before, when the next Cloverfield movie comes out, would you be a little more inclined to be like, I'm gonna go on and look at some of this stuff now? Or would you still be like, nah, this just doesn't really interest me?
A little both. Like, I might keep up with a little bit more, but as far as, like, actively looking for stuff, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Let's listen to this. This is a voice message that was left on the phone that those people found in Chicago. Okay, so for me, in listening to that, how he made it right was to find someone else, like Michelle.
Or that's, like Brittany, right?
No.
Because this is the thing. No,
because this happened after Brittany died.
See, I'm so fascinated in the Brittany story because...
We don't know nothing
Brittany about it. Well, we don't know anything about it. And Brittany clearly happened before the world ended.
Oh, it happened before everything.
Like, everything was still good, and he brought her down there. She didn't have time to get up there and carve help.
How long had that bunker been built?
Before? Been, a couple of years.
Yeah, we don't know exactly.
Okay.
No, I thought they kind of said.
Well, they were still building it, because that's how that...
That room was not even finished painted. Like, she was in.
Yeah.
Just, like, half painted.
And what gets me is how the young guy knew her. Like, he knew her. He said when she shows the picture.
Went missing 2 years ago, is what he said.
Yeah.
She'd been missing for 2 years.
Oh, man. See, that's the part of it that makes you go, yeah, clearly he's a smart guy, but that's the part of it that makes you go, well, there's the crazy part. Like, that's where you're like, well, this guy was crazy.
Oh, he's definitely crazy.
Because he brought a girl down there before anything even happened.
My theory is the reason he brought the girl down there is to test out his bunker. He put her down there, and I know it sucks that it doesn't make sense, but he put her down there, sealed it, to see how long she could live. To see if he was going to be able to live down there. To test his air filtration, water filtration, all that stuff.
I don't know. Do you buy that? Or do you think it's just as simple as...
I think it more is like he took her down there as a test to see if it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, because he didn't anything go wrong when Megan was there. Because I think in his mind he still thought Megan was going to come back. He was going to get Megan back.
Or
I don't think he just left her down there so much as
I think he left her down there. Pretty much.
See, that's the crap that pisses me off. That we'll never know that crap. Or maybe. I don't know.
I don't think we'll ever know.
Yeah.
Unless JJ says it.
Yeah.
Or we're able to find something else in the...
Yeah, that's what I'm... Yeah.
ARG that doesn't involve Goodman. Because it can't.
Yeah.
Goodman's dead.
Right.
I know. That's what pisses me off about... I hope that I'm not right about the... everything's going to be at a different timeline, but same universe type thing.
I'm so okay with it. And, you know, and we talked about this last night, and I'll mention it here again, the Cannibal Airlines, which is a movie they're watching in the movie, and it's... JJ says that's a hint at what's to come. And, you know, that's what me and Mad Dog talked about was it's a, to me, what that says to me is the next movie will be on a plane. And there's a very famous Twilight Zone episode where the entire episode takes place on a plane. Where it's a guy, it's a very creepy, scary episode where a guy is like, he's on an airplane, he falls asleep, he wakes up, and when he looks out the window, he's got one of those like window seats, and it's right where the wing is, and he looks out, and there's a demon out there on the seat, on the wing, clawing the wing apart, ripping it apart, and only he can see it. And it's like the creepiest crap ever because he's like freaking out, trying to get the stewardess, trying to get everybody to look at it. And they're just like, we don't see anything. And this demon is like ripping the plane apart. And he's like, no one believes him. And of course, it is real and the plane does crash and all this crap. So it makes you wonder, like, a plane movie produced by J.J. Abrams in the Cloverfield world, my body's ready. I want to see that movie. Like, that'd be pretty cool.
I couldn't watch that.
But I really hope the cannibal part is excluded. Because that's where I'm like, boy.
Here's where else I can see that going. It not be on airlines, but the cannibal part be real. And we're talking about zombies.
There's your sci-fi element, yeah. Right.
I don't know if he would do a zombie movie.
Yeah, because, okay, you bring up a good point, because I'm with you there. So the first Cloverfield movie is kind of like your Godzilla movie. You got a big monster, right? Come up from the sea and all this stuff. Then you do Cloverfield Lane, aliens. That's your big thing. You're not going to do those either one of those ever again. At least I don't think you will.
I don't think so either.
I think that's the plan. The plan is each one will it'll be a different monster each time.
It's a different, not a monster, but a different way everybody's
dying. But like in this one, you had like two quote-unquote monsters. Yeah. You had John Goodman was your monster. Again, I go back to that tagline in many forms. And then you've got the aliens. So I think in the next one, it's like, what's it going to be? Like you say, zombies? Or is it going to be...
It could be anything.
Ghosts or whatever. It could be anything, you know.
And for me too, where he said it is a hint of things to come, that doesn't mean it's the next movie.
That's true. That's true, too. That
could be five movies down the lane for him. He could already have the other movies. What's crazy, and I would not put this past JJ, is the next movie could come out this year.
Oh, yeah. Or, you're what I was thinking. Like, you know how we were talking about one of the reasons why we loved the advertising for Cloverfield Lane is we were comparing it to the Beyoncé album. The way it just dropped. No one knew this movie was being made.
A trailer came out 2 months before the movie comes out of the theater.
Which is unheard of.
2 months.
In this day and age, that's unheard of. Typically, trailers are released like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
You know, to get everybody excited. This was 2 months ago. And it wouldn't shock me if like one day we just get on Netflix and we're like, there's a Cloverfield series? Like just dropped on Netflix.
Yeah.
And we're like, 12 episodes of Cloverfield. Like,
sleep.
Like what you're saying, wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put it past him to do that.
I wouldn't be shocked if tomorrow.
And no one knows.
I would be shocked if tomorrow we get on there and there's a trailer for the Cloverfield Airlines.
But that's what's cool about it. Like he's saying, it could be tomorrow, it could be 10 years from now.
Yeah.
But just one day, like people will forget about Cloverfield and we'll be like, there's a Cloverfield series or movie or whatever.
However, I don't think it'll be 10 years. I think now that he's come out that he's wanting to do this universe,
and make it a thing.
I think we're going to be seeing movies either every other year or every year.
Do you think he waited that long on purpose, or do you think it was because all of a sudden he's doing Star Wars, he's doing Star Trek, he's got all these things.
He's a busy dude.
It's not even that. He has clout now, and he could be like, I'll do this. But I want to be able to do it.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Because this was
done. You make a good point. Yeah.
This was done on the cheap. I think I saw the budget. It was like,
it's super, super cheap movie. Yeah.
You don't need a big budget for what they did.
No.
Yeah, they had this small set. They were doing it on the side.
Probably John Goodman's paycheck was the most money that you paid.
I'd say so.
Because he's a big name actor.
Yeah.
That's probably the most you paid on this film.
And like he had that all going on while he was doing Star Wars. He just put Dan Trachtenberg on it. and he would look at the dailies. And
that was the cool thing on the Nerdist podcast. They talk about that. They said, they were like, how did you... And he said, while I was filming Star Wars, the director would send me, like, email me, like, what they shot that day. And he said, and I would look at it, and then I would email back, like, I like it, or hey, change this, or think about doing this. So while he was doing Star Wars, he was doing this movie.
He made a comment
Isn't
about
that nuts.
He made a comment about being on the Millennium Falcon and watching Daily
and Star watching Cloverfield Lane. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's why I love JJ. But anyway, it's just, I'm like you. I hope we get many more. But you bring up a good point. I think that. I don't know if after Cloverfield, I mean, obviously he wanted to make more, but getting a movie, I mean, because you hear them talk about this so much, how they're so hard to get made, mm-hmm. and to get a studio to believe it. Unless a movie makes a ton of money, no one's going to back. And I don't know if Cloverfield 1 made a lot of money. I don't know. I don't know if it made the kind of money that makes a studio go, oh yeah, we'll make another Cloverfield sequel or Blood Cousin or whatever. Or would make it in the same way that JJ would have wanted it made. You know what I mean? But like you say, now that he has enough clout, I mean, he kind of has a license to kill. That dude can do whatever the frick he wants.
Made 170 worldwide.
Which is not anything.
No.
That's nothing.
Is that for is that with inflation or is that...
Something has found us.
Will you pull up the original Cloverfield teaser?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it for a second.
Luke's peeing again. It sounds like he's peeing in the shower.
I think he is. He's pissing in your tub.
I completely missed the toilet and went all over the floor.
I thought you were.
I'm just kidding. I did.
Sounded from in here, it's like you were pissing in the shower.
No.
It's like you were peeing on the side of the
Now floor. Make sure it's the. You know what? I don't give a crap. I was going to say the teaser, but this is a trailer.
This is a teaser trailer.
Now, this is the original Cloverfield. Oh my goodness, this is going to take me back. See, there was no title. No title. I'll never forget... I don't know what movie it was. I don't know what movie we were seeing, but I'll never forget when that happened. Like, you were sitting in the theater, and that teaser happened, and you were like... We all just looked at each other, and we were like, the frick was that? And then it wasn't until, like, the first trailer, it was like Clover, and we were like, oh, okay, it's like a monster movie, I guess. And you still didn't go into it. You really didn't know what was happening.
You had a good idea.
You had a good idea.
A monster, but...
But it was still unlike anything you'd ever seen.
Oh, gosh. I get chills when I watch.
And, you know, I think, going to the credit of... I don't want to get off on a whole spiel about the original Cloverfield, even though I could easily do that. But, like, bringing it back to Cloverfield Lane, would you say that... I mean, I'm asking McMurray, like... Is there a movie that you know of that it's like... Have you seen anything like that?
We are watching the trailer for Cloverfield.
That you could compare it to off the top of your head? I can't.
Came out in 2008. Got a 77% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is kind of like
Certified Fresh.
She's holding the,
right.
the author hostage, but the whole alien part, that's...
Right, that's yeah. Misery, but, well, how did you feel about... You know, you said the ending you didn't really care for. How did you feel about her arc, though? Did you think, like, did you like that, how, you know, her whole thing is like, when she tells that story about the girl in the store.
Back in the way. See, I forgot she'd even said that.
And how she was always being kind of abused, and here's John Goodman being an abuser, and now she's finally not running away anymore. Did you like that, at least?
I forgot her talking about that. And then, once you decided to go to Houston instead, I was kind of like, at that point, I was kind of like, oh, okay.
Because I was talking to my brother about it earlier today, and I said, because I didn't spoil anything for him, because he's not seen it yet, but I was telling him, like, I said, look, I said, the ending, it's either going to do one of two things for you. You're either going to have the same reaction that me and DJ had, which as soon as you see what it is that you see, you're either going to be like, this is freaking metal. You're going to be like, man in a minute, minute. Or you're going to be like, because we did, we looked at each other, we were like, yes, yes. Or you're going to be like the way you kind of reacted, which is, huh? You know what I mean? So, but I do feel, because of her arc, no matter how you feel about the ending, it is a little bit justified. As bonkers as that ending is. It's bonkers. I'll agree.
I'll agree with that.
But it's like she kind of...
I have changed one thing. Like, last night, I wanted them to be connected.
I did too.
I wanted them to be connected. That's part of the reason I was kind of like, eh. But they just said, or you guys were talking about House of Twilight.
Yeah.
I want the next one to be separate, because I...
I do too.
The alien thing, I just, it did nothing for me. And I was kind of like, well, I want a fresh start.
You know, and again, you bring up another good point. Like, that's interesting you say that, because, okay, so maybe Cloverfield 1 and 2 does nothing for you, but maybe Cloverfield 3 will be like,
yeah,
it'll totally speak to you.
It could be a whole different genre.
And me and DJ might be like, well, that sucked. You know what I mean? But, like, each film could be radically different. Like, you were saying, like, you know...
It could be a musical set in the 80s.
I was about to say that. Dang it!
Skinwitch, let's talk about that for a second. That trailer, do you know which one I'm referring to?
Before, State Street?
Is that what it's called? It's set in the 80s?
With the baseball team.
Yeah, the baseball team. I literally looked at DJ and go, I bet McMurray's loving this trailer. Did you? Did you like that? No? I just figured because it was set in the 80s.
That was a
horrible trailer.
Yeah, it looked so stupid.
It did. It looked terrible.
They were trying to be Days of Confused, and there's some movies you just cannot replicate.
It just felt so out of place. Like, out of all the other trailers we saw, because they showed,
except for the one set in the 70s.
Yeah.
With the cop hostage one. But...
that was just such a weird trailer.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here, we've got an R-rated movie. Let's just throw this R-rated trailer into it.
Yeah, it felt really strange.
Yeah, I was kind of like, eh.
DJ's still looking at funandprettythings.com.
Have you been to this part of it?
I've not. I read all about it on Reddit, though. So I know what you're looking at.
Had a hotwire car.
Yeah, he was telling Megan, right?
Yeah, he's trying to teach Megan how to hotwire a car just in case she needed to hotwire her mom's car to make it to Louisiana.
Yeah,
I remember this too. Okay, so he tells her where they are, and she goes, I was driving north of here. And he says he ran her off the road coming back. Or on his way to the bunker. So, was she drive? Well, technically, what I'm saying is that the way I took that is she was saying she was driving north, and he was heading north away from the bunker, and he was heading
away from the bunker as well.
He should have been heading towards the bunker because that's what he told her. However, he ran her off the road going the same way she was going.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's crazy. I do think there are some things that can be explained about him as he's crazy.
I'm afraid I'm going to go into work Monday, and I'm going to sit down and dive into it. I know I don't need to.
Now, what else are you going to do?
Join Netflix.
Watch Daredevil. Finish Daredevil.
And watch a Pee Wee Herman movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have Daredevil finished. Don't you?
But then Tuesday, you're going to dive into this. At some point, it's going to happen.
It's like fairy tale to watch. I've got all this stuff. I'm busy at work, sir.
Ooh. You're assuming that Cloverfield is solely related to the first monster movie. That is this is a quote, potentially not a direct quote, from Trachtenberg.
The director. Yeah.
Cloverfield is a platform to tell unique stories that wouldn't be too typical in their genre of choice while being an anthology of short. So shorts building up to something.
Okay, so it's a bunch of little stories building up to another, to a big story, is what he's saying, right? Cloverfield isn't the Cloverfield. It's just one short in a bigger franchise. Interesting. So maybe it is connected.
I still have trouble believing that.
Well,
I want to. I want that to happen, but I have trouble believing it because Howard would have mentioned that.
I get what you're saying, but keep in mind, and then we keep saying this, you know, everything is on purpose and you can read into something, a big deal. What if you can read into the whole quote of, you know, there's pieces of the puzzle missing? You know what I mean? Like, what if that is a quote that it basically tells the whole franchise?
I don't know if anyone else did this, but I counted how many pieces of that puzzle were actually missing. It wasn't just the two eyeballs.
Yeah, there were more.
There was nine.
Okay, I didn't count out how many.
I love that you counted. That's amazing.
I couldn't help it.
What did you do? Pull up a still image of that?
I counted it in the theater.
Jesus.
Dang, I mean, you had to count really fast. Well, maybe there's nine movies.
Kind of want to hope for, man.
Oh, I do too.
And the cat's eye is two puzzle pieces. Cloverfield 1 and 2. And we've already found those two puzzle pieces in Louisiana. In the...
Yeah. Nice. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know.
This makes me so angry. Because I just want to know.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Well... All I can say now is, welcome to the club.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the freaking club, because we've been trying to figure this crap out since 2008.
I'm not going to go down that far.
You should. It's fun.
It is fun. It's so much fun. And it's just, you get that real sense of community, like everybody trying to figure this crap out together.
And two, I guarantee if you would have dove as deep as we have before the movie, you would have enjoyed this movie more.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I still enjoyed it. Just
I know. You would have found it more entertaining. Because, like, that scene where at the gas station, did anything significant happen there for you?
Yeah, like, me and him got very excited during that scene. And I bet most people didn't even notice.
Didn't care.
No.
Didn't care a bit.
I know you guys said something about you noticed something from the first movie, but well, it's someone
from,
outside
it's
of it.
It's literally from every J.J.
Abrams
movie.
From every J.J. Abrams movie.
Slush show,
yeah.
Boom.
But it's just like, it's like stuff like that you spot, and you're like, oh, there it is.
Every time we've seen a new Eiffel Tower shot.
It's almost like, in a way, it's like J.J. creates that same feeling you get when you spot, I can't think of his name now. Stan Lee. Stan Lee in a Marvel movie. It's that same feeling. You know, it's just like, oh, there it is. That's that thing I recognize. That's that thing, you know. I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna have to leave soon. I think that, I love the movie. It was so Cloverfield-y. It was everything I wanted to be. Well, I wanted to be connected, so it wasn't everything I wanted to be. Out of rating 1 out of 10, I give it a strong 9. Strong 9. I'm not going to give it a full 10. I'll give it a 9.
They want to respect that.
And I look super forward. Hope I live long enough to the next Cloverfield. I mean, I'm pretty sure after Civil War I could die happily. But I hope I make it to the next Cloverfield.
Closing thoughts, McMurray. What would you rate it, McMurray?
I'm trying to... Because I enjoyed... Like I said, I enjoyed the movie. Except for the ending.
Yeah.
But it was a really good movie. It was very suspenseful. It kept me... Like, I was enthralled watching it. I was like, ooh. What's going to happen next? 7.5. I would watch it again.
Yeah.
Not in theater, but I would watch it again.
I'm definitely going to watch this again.
I want to get the Blu-ray so I can actually put on subtitles and see exactly what people are saying.
You know me. If you look around this room, you will not find the first DVD.
Yeah.
This and Star Wars will be two. Well, Star Wars won't have a DVD either.
Yeah.
I'm going to have it. But that I may consider.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'll give it a 9.
Yeah.
Definitely not going to give it a 10. Because I feel like there's a few things that could have been answered in the movie that wasn't.
Yeah.
A little bit more information.
Right. Would have been nice.
As far as production goes, they hit the movie perfect. I wanted to ask one more question about the movie, though.
Okay.
Do you think Goodman might get nominated for Best Supporting Actor?
I've heard there is Oscar buzz for him.
I think he deserved it. He played this character so perfect.
So convincingly. Like, you really, yeah. He did a really, really good job. The only problem with that is it's too soon to tell. We still got a lot of movies ahead of us.
Oh, I agree. Very early. What I'm trying to say, though, is that is a Oscar nomination.
Role. As of right now, yeah. I mean, as of right now. But it's just like, holy crap, there's still hundreds of more movies left to go.
Honestly, like, whenever I watch movies, I've said this before on here, I keep thinking, oh, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. Watching John Goodman, I kept thinking of the last time an actor has done so well that I forget that it's an actor, and that was Heath Ledger as a Joker. Like, I forgot that was John Goodman. And I was like, holy shit, he's
scary. He's so creepy. So creepy in this movie.
You know, McMurray always says, and it's actually something that kind of bugs me a little bit, is that whenever you see an actor in a movie, you're like, I can't see him as anything other than this person. I can't see it. He says it like everybody that you know, I don't like it because I couldn't see him as anybody but this. I don't know if I'll ever see John Goodman as
the same way,
except this guy.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm going to see John Goodman like, he's fucked up.
That dude's creepy.
See, the thing is, like, I used to be able to think, hey, that's Walter Sobchak from Big Lebowski or...
Sure, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But last night, I was like, holy crap, he's freaking me out.
Yeah.
He's so
intense. Which is honestly the greatest compliment you can give an actor. Because that's what an actor wants. They want to convince you. They want you to believe that they're someone else.
He did amazing.
That they're a totally different person.
And that's
person.
Exactly why I think he deserves a nomination.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did awesome. Well... It's been fun. Probably the next one we'll do is, well, I don't know. We've got a lot of different ideas in the future for what our next episodes are going to be, but we hope you've enjoyed our notes, people. You've been noted.
Peace out.
Yeah.